Mr. Chair, we are on the record and I have started the recording. I'm Gina Levesque, intake manager for the Commission on Ethics, and this is an executive session of the Palm Beach County Commission on Ethics. Today's date is December 10, 2015, and the time is 1:47 p.m. Before the commission at this time is case number C-15019 and C-15020, and the respondents are Regina Williams and Terrence Davis, respectively. Neither Ms. Williams nor Mr. Davis is being represented by an attorney. Ms. Williams is the legislative aide for Commissioner Terrence Davis for the City of Riviera Beach. Both respondents have waived their right to a private hearing as it regards to the other party only. I will now call the roll. Commissioner Headley?
Present.
Commissioner Kreidel?
Here.
Commissioner Lofredo?
Here.
Commissioner Pierman?
Here.
Commissioner Shulman?
Present.
The chair will now begin the meeting.
Good afternoon. This meeting is to examine in executive session complaints C-15019 and C-15020. They apply respectively to Regina Williams and Terrence Davis, both employees of the City of Riviera Beach. I'd like to welcome you both. And for anyone else whose name has not already been identified for the record in attendance, I'd like you to identify yourselves at this time.
Mark Bannon, Executive Director.
Anthony Bennett, Investigator, COE.
Christy Kelly, Staff Counsel.
Thank you.
Commissioners, respondents need to identify themselves on the record, please.
The respondents, okay. Ms.
Regina Williams.
Thank you.
Terrence Davis.
Thank you. Okay. Now that everybody has been identified, I'll defer to Executive Director Bannon for an explanation of probable cause and this hearing process.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. This matter began with the filing of a sworn complaint against each of the two respondents on January 13, 2015 by Judy L. Davis. Legal sufficiency for this complaint was then found by then COE Executive Director Steve Cullen on July 24th, 2015. After completion of an investigation, commission staff is recommending a finding of no probable cause in these complaints and recommends both complaints be dismissed at this hearing. While this executive session is a single probable cause hearing concerning evidence from both cases, the commission must make separate findings concerning probable cause for the individual complaints filed against each respondent. This probable cause hearing is a paper hearing. That is, the commission's determination of whether probable cause exists to believe that respondent Regina Williams or respondent Terrence Davis violated the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics is to be based on an examination of the documentary evidence provided and the consideration of legal arguments made at this hearing. No witness testimony will be heard. For the purposes of this hearing, probable cause exists where there are reasonable, trustworthy facts and circumstances for the Commission on Ethics to conclude that one or both of the respondents violated the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics. As stated, staff is recommending in this case there are not sufficient reasonably trustworthy facts and circumstances to believe that either respondent violated the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics. Staff Counsel Christy Kelly will act as advocate for this hearing and will make a brief opening statement presenting staff's position. She is also available to answer any questions commissioners may have concerning staff's recommendation of no probable cause. As the investigator for this case, I am also available to answer any questions the commission may have concerning the investigation of this matter. Respondents will also be given an opportunity to make a brief opening statement if they wish to do so. Should the commission wish to ask questions of the respondents or their legal to clarify information presented at this hearing, they may do so. Such questions should be confined to the documentary evidence presented and or any statements made by the respondent at this hearing. Respondents may answer commissioners' questions voluntarily should they choose, but are not here bound by subpoena and therefore not required to answer commissioners' questions at this probable cause hearing. Ms. Kelly will now present staff's position on this matter to the commission.
Thank you. In this complaint, it was alleged that Terrence Davis, City of Riviera Beach Commissioner, and Regina Williams, his legislative aide, were domestic partners, and that between April 2014 and June 2015, they violated the misuse of public office and the corrupt misuse of official position provisions by traveling together out of the county at the city's expense for personal trips which were not related to city business. Based on the information revealed during the investigation, I am recommending a finding of no probable cause in these complaints. To prove a violation of the misuse of public office provision, in this case, the evidence would have to show that Commissioner Davis and Ms. Williams gave a special financial benefit either to himself or herself or to a domestic partner. First, the investigation revealed that there is no evidence to support the allegation that Commissioner Davis and Ms. Williams were domestic partners, either at the time of Ms. Williams' hiring or that they are currently domestic partners. During both sworn interviews, both Commissioner Davis and Ms. Williams denied living together as domestic partners, and each listed a separate address in city records. There's also no evidence to support the allegation that Commissioner Davis and Ms. Williams gave a special financial benefit to themselves by going on the out-of-county trips at the city's expense. The City of Riviera Beach's travel policy allows all elected officials to have the authority to approve their own travel, to determine if the travel is related to city business, and to determine if they need staff on these trips. A documentary evidence, including city travel expense forms and city vehicle use forms, indicate that Commissioner Davis determined that the trips were related to city business. And again, all elected officials are allowed to make that determination themselves. During his sworn interview, Commissioner Davis explained how the two trips that were in question, which were both at the city's expense, one was to Embry-Riddle University and the other was to the Orange County NAACP Freedom Fund and Awards Banquet. He explained how those were related to city business. He stated that the trip to Embry-Riddle University was a research trip to review the school's summer programs. Commissioner Davis stated that he needed to make sure that the area was safe to send the local youth, and he took his legislative aide, Ms. Williams, on the trip to assist him, and so that she would have firsthand knowledge so she could answer any questions that she may receive from constituents. And then concerning his trip to the Orange County NAACP Freedom Fund and Awards Banquet, Commissioner Davis stated that the purpose of this trip was to network with other local officials and who attended the event, and he stated that he needed Ms. Williams to accompany him on that trip to keep an accurate record of who he was meeting. So based on the facts revealed during the investigation, there is no evidence to support the allegation that Commissioner Davis or Ms. Williams received any special financial benefit by going on the trips at the city's expense, because city policy allows Commissioner Davis and all elected officials to determine whether a trip was related to city business and whether he needed staff support on these trips. Next, there is insufficient evidence to support the allegation that either Commissioner Davis or Ms. Williams violated the corrupt misuse of official position provision. The evidence shows that Commissioner Davis's actions in going on the out-of-county trips were consistent with the proper performance of his public duties as a City of Riviera Beach Commissioner. Again, the city gave him authority to determine if the travel was related to city business and if he needed staff support on those trips. As long as he determined that the out-of-county trips were for a city business and that he needed Ms. Williams to accompany him as staff support, then his actions were consistent with the proper performance of his duties as a city commissioner. And then concerning Ms. Williams, since Commissioner Davis determined that the trips were city-related and that he needed her as support on these trips, when she accompanied him on these out-of-county trips, she was acting in a manner that was consistent with the proper performance of her duties as a legislative aide to Commissioner Davis. So based on the facts discovered during the investigation, I believe that there is insufficient evidence to prove that Commissioner Davis or Ms. Williams used their official positions to give any benefit to themselves, to a domestic partner, or anyone else, since city policy authorized Commissioner Davis to approve his own travel, to determine his travel is related to city business, and to determine if he needed staff support on those trips. So based on the facts and circumstances, I recommend that a finding of no probable cause and an order of dismissal be entered in C-15-019, and a finding of no probable cause and an order of dismissal be entered in C-15-020.
Thank you. At this point in time, both Ms. Williams and Mr. Davis, in turn, will have an opportunity to make an opening statement and to help us understand something that perhaps was not clear either in the report or in the presentation by Advocate Kelly. So, Ms. Williams, you're up.
To be honest, I really don't have a whole lot to say on that because I didn't do anything wrong. As I was being interviewed by Mr. Bannon, if I'm saying his last name correctly, the complaint just was, you know, in my professional opinion, was just grasping at straws because she clearly lost her election and came up with these different sections to try to accuse Councilman Terrence Davis and myself of something that's totally false. So I really don't have a whole lot to say other than the statements and the accusations are not true. That's all I really have to say about that.
Thank you. Mr. Davis.
First of all, it's a pleasure meeting everyone in this room, but unfortunately, under these circumstances, maybe we can meet in a better opportunity. Happy holidays to everyone. Councilman Terrence Davis. You know, this is my first term running for office and actually running for re-election. And I understand that this is a part of the process. And I'm going to sit through this process and understand that your staff has done a wonderful job with doing their investigation. And I would sit very strongly, consistently on their recommendations. They've done what they were supposed to do, and I'm going to trust and follow their steps as they, what you agreed them to do. And that'll be all.
Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions of either party? I guess this means no?
I do. I'm just waiting
okay.
My turn. Thank you both for coming in. I know it's not pleasant to be sitting where you're sitting, but thank you for the information you provided to Mr. Bannon when he was investigating and for coming in today. I just want to understand the policy, and this is really for you, Councilman, the policy as far as using your discretion to determine what's a business trip and what's for city business, and what criteria you use to determine whether something is for city business, understanding that certainly any contacts you make could benefit the city. But where do you personally draw that line, and where did you draw the line in this case?
Anytime I can bring information, a resource that would benefit young, mature, I don't use the word old, but I call it mature residents, to help the public benefit. If there's no correlation to a trip, when you talk about the NAACP Awards, there were many great speakers, great leaders, great economic developers. I met the CEO of SeaWorld. Different people from all over the country was at that event. And it was an opportunity to actually go out and share resources because, as you know, we have the waterfront property, which is my marina property, which is very high quality, and we have a lot going on. And I want to find out what could we do to go and draw back, as well as the Emmy Riddle story. I've been a strong advocate of the youth, and I was found out that they had some programs, summer programs and spring break programs, robotics, things of that sort, where children can go to state. We actually have one young man actually attending that school now, that's from Revere Beach. He's a freshman. He just came back yesterday from college. I have a young lady who graduated, who's not a flight, who's a pilot, who actually went away, graduated, went to the military. She's back now visiting. Just want to find out how can I create more young ladies and more young men like that in my community, and that's all it simply was.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Commissioner Henley?
I have a question in terms of understanding your testimony. Your visit to Constable Davis and recounting your visit to Emeryville University, you stated that the reason why you made that visit was to make sure that it was a safe environment and that you asked Ms. Williams to accompany you to serve as an independent source of verification that the facilities at the university were indeed safe. Mm-hmm. Now, assuming, and I'm not questioning you, this is the premise that your primary objective was to make sure that the facilities were safe, would it be reasonable to infer then that you would have made sure that there was some formal record of your visit? Because in the investigation, the folks at the Emeryville University said that there was no formal signature in the guest book and they had problems recalling your visit.
But there was one person that actually did state that she actually remembered me, forgot the name. But what happened was when we go out, a lot of times we have these different civic associations in the community and I can't be everywhere. It's impossible for me. And a lot of times we have two or three association meetings. They all meet at the same time. So if I send Ms. Williams to, let's say, Parkman Association, and I go over to Yacht Harbor Estates, she must be able to talk about and articulate the same experience of what we're trying to do in our community. I can't be everywhere. And that's why she don't go on many trips. I can tell you how many trips she went on one hand since I've been elected. Since being elected, I spend the least money traveling than any elected official in the city of Riviera Beach. Unfortunately, as we go through this exercise, I'm being a victim of my own success, just trying to do the right thing. And when you're trying to do the right thing, it makes some people uncomfortable, but you don't worry about it, just keep moving forward. When I went there, I asked, is there anything to fill out so we can go on this tour? It is unfortunate, I'm not going to talk about Emeryville, how they handle that process, but it could have been done better. But I did get a tour guide, someone did walk me around, show me the school, show me the dormitory, talked about the process, talked about the neighborhood and how things are done. I spent quite a bit of time actually seeing the area, and it took me over to Bethune-Cookman University and things of that sort.
And Ms. Davis accompanied you on that trip?
Ms. who?
Ms. Davis.
His name is?
Ms. Williams.
Yes, sir. Yes. She accompanied me on that trip because when we're having a conversation, usually she's doing the note-taking. She's doing writing. So when we get through, we sit down, we go through recall of the experience, and well, that's it.
Ms. Williams, I'm sorry for referring to Ms. Davis. I believe in your testimony during the investigative process, you said that you don't recall visiting that trip, accompanying that trip.
As Councilman Davis stated, I don't go on very many trips. And when I was interviewed by Mr. Brannon, the travel that he wanted me to review was for Councilman Davis's travel. And I asked him, can I review any travel that I have taken? Because the question was Councilman Davis's travel. A lot of times when you do, in this particular one, I still don't recall, but I know when I do go on any, like you said, through Parkman or anything like that, I always, if we don't sign in, I make sure I get business cards. Right. I make sure I have some type of literature or an agenda or along with my notes so we can dialogue back and forth and have our conference on so when he brings stuff back to the city. So that's what we do for me being his legislative assistant.
Can I have another question? Councilman Davis, I think you stated that your primary reason for visiting Emeryville University was to make sure that the facilities were safe. But I think you also said that previous to that, you had also referred another student to the university.
that student that went the first time, I didn't have a chance to go tour the site. What happened was, she was a young lady I was mentoring, and I was training her as a track and field athlete, and she told me she wanted to be a pilot.
Right.
And it was a great situation. As we were leaving the stadium, Emory Riddle College track and field coach approached me and said, "Would that young lady come to my school? Because she's talented, but I don't think she would be interested in a program like that." And I asked him, what is your school specialization? And he told me, flight school. Right. I said, it's amazing that you brought that up, because she actually wants to be a pilot and serve in the U.S. Army, which she does now to this day. I didn't have an opportunity to go at that time.
Well, you weren't able to safety at that point in time.
No, that's not that. Let me ask the question very clear. There's nothing in life guaranteed. But if a child comes to me and wants to go to school and someone offers them a 100% scholarship, at that time, it's up to those parents to move forward. I wasn't in a position and at the time to be able to go up there and visit that trip because the parents had did it at that time. But because she was a 19-year-old adult, 20 years old,
right.
I'm talking about middle school students now, into a summer camp. The safety was not just the primary focus, but anytime you do something with children, safety is always first. So when you're dealing with children 11, 12 years old in a program that's going to be away from home from parents, that's a little different from dealing with an 18 or 19-year-old child.
Right.
So my focus was dealing with a different group that not used to being out alone, not having a driver's license. So I wanted to go as I prepare on how we plan our plans for this year, for next summer that's actually coming up. How do we put certain people in position to make this program successful? Because the minute that something goes wrong, it gets politicized. And that's not why we do the jobs that we do.
So, just very quickly. So, with regard to the summer school program, safety was your primary concern in the fact that, among other things, these were younger children.
Yes, sir.
And you want to make sure that you weren't setting them into an environment that was potentially unsafe.
I just want to be able to, not just unsafe, but I really wanted to know more about what the program entails,
and
see what is the process, what type of dormitory they will be living in, who will be responsible from transferring from, do they have to cross the street to get to a cafeteria? Before I start putting this in place a year ahead of time, I just really wanted to make sure that this great idea I was thinking of didn't have any loopholes in it.
I understand. Yeah. And safety was a primary concern.
Yes, sir.
Well, given the fact that safety was a primary, rightfully a primary concern of yours, and you thought that it was appropriate to have Ms. Williams serve as an independent source of collaboration, that the facilities were indeed safe.
Mm-hmm.
At least to me, that is a problem. And I guess this may be a question for Ms. Williams, not being able to recount the trip, given the fact that this is a very important program and safety was a primary concern.
Well, at this point, I'm just going to sit back. I'm not going to say a whole lot more because I went to do something positive. And I'm going to stick on that. And I'm going to let, at this point, I don't want to answer any more questions. I'm just going to sit on staff's recommendations because I'm trying to do something positive to help people. And one thing I would like to do is, and once this all is said and done, I would love to have you all's individual support as we try to continue a relationship and do some things with it, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to save lives. Things are happening across this country with children as you can't believe, and I'm trying to change the mindset of the youth in my community. And I got someone who had a malicious, this is the same person that filed a complaint. I had some children sitting at City Hall doing a community program, and she called the police on them. I'm the same individual that had to go explain to this young mother that who thought her children were safe, that the elected official called the police, which was stated on record and verified, on male children when she thought they was doing something positive. Every time I do something positive, I have to defend myself. And at this stage, I will no longer try to defend myself for doing something. And with all due respect to you, sir, I respect that you really care about what you're doing, but I just want to just come here, sit before this board, stand on staff's recommendation. We had no malicious, we had no intent of doing anything negative. People try to do what they do. I'm not here, I can't control what they do. I can control what's in my heart and what we're trying to do. You know, I just happen to be a victim of having an assistant that worked just as hard as I do. And unfortunately, people are not comfortable with that. You know, and she'll tell you, she was actually kicked out of a public meeting. I didn't file an ethics complaint to this commission board. I could have filed it. We had a public meeting where the public was there. And she was single-handedly pointed out by the same person and said, this meeting will not continue until that lady leaves this room, which is illegal. That's a violation. But I didn't go and file a frivolous complaint to you all and try and raise you all. Because you have some things that there are some elected officials in this county that are probably doing some malicious things. And I don't want to take away from that by filing frivolous complaints about some things that's tying you all up, and you can be focusing your staff's energy on something else.
Commissioner Pearman.
Councilman Davis.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess it's just by happenstance that you both, the complainant and you, have the same name. There's no connection, right?
Not at all.
Okay.
She married Davis.
Thought I should have that.
Yeah, she married Davis. There's no, she's not an ex-wife or nothing like that.
Okay.
She just, someone just happened to be a Davis.
Commissioner LaFredo.
I ask you as the investigator, didn't you find some quirks in the use of the rental car and gas tickets?
Not so much gas tickets, Commissioner. The mileage on the rental car. Unfortunately, I have no way to verify that mileage has written down by whoever he turned the car into was correct. It wasn't a tremendous amount of mileage. And the other thing that I learned during my investigation...
It was 200 miles, wasn't it?
On the 1-2 Emory Riddle, I believe it was.
Right.
But the other thing I did know that I did find during my investigation and discussion with Commissioner Davis is that when he goes on these trips early in the morning, the motor pool isn't open yet, so if it's a Monday trip, he gets the car on Friday. Now, since he's driving around Riviera Beach, attending meetings or whatever that might be, he actually has the ability to use that car in that method. That's one of the purposes of having those cars. So we're not sure whether that mileage is tacked on from the weekend, whether it was simply written down wrong, because their records, quite frankly, are just not that well kept there.
But the bottom line from the city is that he can make whatever decision he wants as to the use of the cars and what places he chooses to go.
Actually, that's pretty much standard in most elected officials, that they get to make the determination of what is or is not a public purpose.
Well, how could going to Tallahassee for his grandfather to be honored have a public purpose to Riviera Beach?
Quite frankly, the commission, as I understand it, was behind him making that trip because his grandfather is from the Riviera Beach area.
Let me clarify just two things. Thank you, sir. The mileage trip, what makes the mileage a very unique situation? The complaint, the person that filed, she somehow got her hands on the mileage log. We don't know to this day was that stuff modified. There was no public records requesting all this information. She still had open access to City of Riviera Beach business when she was not an elected official. She was going in and grabbing documents. To this day, we have no idea what has been going on. And to the city, the trip to Tallahassee, there were two things that happened. I had previously planned a trip because I was working on reaching out. I partnered with the Southeast Public Market Fair Association because, as I know, Riviera Beach is considered a food desert. Adam Putnam, to the Department of Agriculture, has certified and supported this initiative. I went to Florida A&M University, which I so happen to be alumni of, to talk about the public market and the community garden, because I want to try to find a way to create an extension program in the city of Riviera Beach. It just so happened that my great-grandfather had gotten nominated, and the ceremony was the exact same week. I didn't foresee this happening. My great-grandfather, yes, he was the man that actually was the founder of the Florida Teachers Association. Yes, he was the founder of the Florida Voters League. But I'm very proud of that I stand on the shoulders of him. And once again, It's, man, you know, it's, I just wonder how would people treat me if I had my pants hanging down. Walking the street, asking for help. Would somebody really help me? I'm in a position now with a suit and tie, helping children whose parents I went to school with, who didn't have the mother and the father that I did. And I'm doing my best to do so. And I didn't come back to Florida for this. I went to California years ago. I came back, finished 1 year at Florida A&M, and I came back home just to help my grandparents and my family and my community through my ministry. And I saw something need change, but I try to do it in a positive way. And these are the things. And I'm going to tell you now, the more on this board, you're going to see more stuff coming for you. I'm just surprised it took this long for it to happen, but you're going to see some more stuff coming for this board. Now, I'm in a certain position now, like, you know, as elected official, how do you fight back? Do you write it up? Do you file stuff? And, you know, do you make a recommendation for the board to review what's going on? Because a lot of stuff is happening. They're having staff help with this stuff. You know, and even when I came before here, you know, I was afraid to even send this document over to my city attorney because I didn't know who she was representing, because on the document, it was notarized through her office, the complaint. So the document, you know, you said you notarized the signature, but my name is still in the front. My staff is notarizing a complaint that's coming to me. I mean, so who's, you know, yes, it's time for change in River Beach. I want to be a part of that. They're afraid of change. And if that means coming back before this board, I will welcome it. But I want to make sure you all understand the big picture here of what's going on in River Beach. It's a big generational change. We're back home. Our parents are much older. We're taking care of our parents. And we're just trying to get in certain, and the old guard don't relinquish power. And they find it very difficult to trust that we're going to do the right thing because they want to keep tugging. But like I say, sir, the Myla situation, she has access to everything. I don't know what happened to that. You know, I don't want it to volunteer to drive another 200 miles, believe me. You know, I don't get paid, you know, to continue driving mileage. You know, I actually was a city vehicle on that particular trip that I went, and they record the mileage when you come in. Staff, you give them the keys, they do the mileage, and they report it back to you. In this case, they didn't. I didn't know it was a complaint, so I get a call from another staff member saying, be careful, this is getting ready to happen. I said, what are you talking about? Ms. Davis just came back with the mileage sheet, and I said, well, how did she get access to it? And then that's when it's time for, I addressed that situation in my evaluation of my staff, and I did it from that point. But
Please
be brief.
Just like Councilman Davis said, now, as far as the mileage, there is a book, a log that is handwritten. If any of the elected officials or the mayor needs to go on any city-related business, they normally have their staff or the council people can go upstairs. And because everything is handwritten, and at that time, the complainant was able to physically go upstairs and look at the log, like Councilman Davis stated, and I'll be very brief, she did not do a records request. And you have to do a records request, and this was after the fact that she was no longer an elected official. That got back to our office, and our office addressed it with the city manager, which she stated she was not aware of that. The complainant had went upstairs and got the log, which was handwritten. So with that, anything can be written on there. It's not anything electronic, it's not stamped, but there was no request from the complainant.
Ms. Shulman.
So in follow-up, and I actually did not at the time have further questions, but now I do. I think Commissioner Headley was trying to understand from you, Ms. Williams, if this was an important trip, and Councilman, I don't think we're questioning your intentions to benefit the children of Riviera Beach. The question really is just this trip and the allegations before us, but there were some inconsistencies, particularly with Ms. Williams' interview. where you stated you did not recall the trip and that if you were there, it would have been as a private traveler, not as an employee. So I just want to hear from you, from your own words and your side, why, if this was an official trip to benefit Riviera Beach, which at least I'm taking as true for the purpose of today, why you stated you didn't remember it, and if so, that you were there as a private employee.
Okay, Mr. Brennan interviewed me. He gave me two forms. Both of the travel forms were for Councilman Terrence Davis. And I stated to Mr. Brennan, and I'll state it to again, I asked him, was there any travel forms that were Regina Williams' name on there? Because just like Councilman Davis, when he traveled on the city, I also would have to have a travel form as well. The city does not pay for me to go without travel unless I do it, pay for it myself. So when Mr. Brennan asked me several times, did I go on the trip with Councilman Davis, I told him I didn't recall because I needed to see if there was any travel information for myself. I can't recall going on any trips that the city has paid. If they paid for me, there's a travel form. When he showed me, it was just clearly for Councilman Davis. It wasn't for myself. And I don't recall. I go on several. The ones that I do go on, we would have a travel form. If there is any that I've been on that has not been funded through the city, then I don't have to question that because it's not on the city's dime, it's my dime.
Okay. Do you, as you sit here today, recall going on the trip?
I don't recall.
I'm going to clarify something because I see what she's talking about. We're in a hostile situation. Everything that we state on the record is very careful. The purpose of that interview was to document. She didn't know what she used to really direct her answers to his questions or to the document. We have to be extremely careful. We can't trust our own attorney. We can't afford an attorney. Yet she's not trying to be malicious in what you're trying to do. I get where you're going. Everything that's happening here, they're waiting to see this public record, and there's going to be a record request for this, and then there's going to be another meeting. She only wants to speak to regard. She goes on quite a few trips sometimes and pays out her own pocket. Even hotels stay out her pocket, separate rooms, everything. But we're trying to make sure that the questioning is as a business trip, then she can answer that way. If you ask them about her personal life, that's different. But as a business trip, that's a different question. And that's what she's trying to relate to be clear here. Because as a business trip, there was one form filled out for me. There was never a business trip form filled out for her. So she's basically stating that, hey, I should not have to even answer a question in regards to a business trip. I'm not there as a business policy form.
That's what I'm trying to understand, yeah, because right. I'm accepting what you've said.
Right.
It was a business trip, and she was there to document the trip for purposes of bringing it back to the city. It just doesn't add up. And honestly, at this point, it's moot because the question of probable cause is, if this were to go forward to a hearing, would there be evidence to prove misuse of the position? But
right.
I just think it would have been helpful if that question had been answered, that yes, it was a business trip, and I recall it, and I was there. The answers didn't line up. So that's all I was trying to understand.
I understand your intent. It just, when you walk in the lion's den, you got steak around your neck everywhere you go. You have to be extremely careful because you don't know who has relationships with who in this county. No disrespect to nobody in this room. I went before a state commission board and ran to a situation, got treated by the same person filed a complaint for the Tallahassee. And everybody that came before me had did issues, way malicious, way harsh intent, and they waived all their fees. Everyone. When I came up, there's someone who's friends of someone, and they all, I was told when I got back home, there was a party of all these people of the old guard watching me on TV sweat, waiting for the final drop. I think it was like 9,000, it was $900. And everybody else, the biggest fine they gave out today was $100 a state. And I'm saying, everywhere I go, I'm fighting against money. They have money. And I'm telling Ms. Williams, I told her, I said, really shouldn't you speak on nothing. I said, we can't afford an attorney. But you got to be extremely careful because, not to say that your staff is some way, but this is how we have to walk until some of these people just gone, because they're not any good. I know you're looking after them, but she's trying to protect her boss. And, you know, and she would say, yes, she works for me, because anything that she does is a reflection of me. And they say, Councilman Terrence Davis, assistant, blah, 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 blah. They never say Ms. Williams. Councilman Davis, assistant, blah, 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 blah. She has made sure all my bills were paid. We're never late. We spend at least each commissioner has probably traveled twice as much as I have. I'm afraid to even do anything for my community outside of the city, because every time I do something, it's like they got their private investigators they hire. I'm driving around town. I'm being followed. I got to file police reports on that. I got guys sitting out my side of my house that I can prove. It's at what point, how do we fight back when you can't fight? I mean, I don't have money for a lawyer. I can't really say trust my attorney, because she notarized this. The documents came from their office. So there was a meeting in the office to get information on against me. And my sister's being asked, requested to ask the questions to a form. There's nothing questioning about her. The question's about me. So if you asking her in that meeting, she'd have been the question stating, are you on a business trip? And those questions be addressed towards the business trip. And then I'd be yes or don't recall towards that. Don't recall doesn't mean yes or no. It is saying, hey, you've been extremely careful to this process, because things are very, very, very political. Some people do their jobs as a true professional. Some people go over and beyond. Some people are very comfortable with the way things are. But we just came here just to simply sit on staff's recommendations. I really didn't want to answer any questions today, because I knew it would get into a more of everything that's been circumvented in this packet and based on what staff has done. You know, I'm talking about defending, going to Tallahassee, meeting with FAMU staff. I went to Tallahassee to meet with the governor, to honor my great-grandfather, who was inducted to the Civil Rights Hall of Fame, being questioned about how does the NAACP have anything to do with the city of Riviera Beach.
Well,
I'm not being questioned on overspending money. I'm not being questioned on where I'm staying. I'm not being questioned on what did I bring back to the city. I'm not being, you know, those are the things I'm not being questioned on. The things that are significant that are helping people. I mean, we focus on policy. Our policy gives others discretion to focus on what's important to the city and what's not. If there's any malicious intent, usually the board itself will bring it up on the board for discussion, and we'll modify the policy if someone abuses it before we even get to this point. But at no point did they ever do that with me. I've never maliciously, never made any mistakes since being elected. They waited to the end of someone walked out of office 3 years later. It's okay, let's get them. They all got in the room, the attorneys, the city manager, all of them. They sat there and they played their game. And all of a sudden, they just threw everything. So let's see, we'll stick on the wall today. We get them on the thing. He'll go down there and he'll talk too much. I didn't want to speak before this meeting. I just really want to sit on staff as my brother's back. The courtesy and the respect of you all's time. I just want to come here, sit on the board, answer a few questions. There's nothing we're doing malicious, but we're just trying to protect ourselves, which ultimately protects the integrity of our city.
Okay, thank you. And I don't think there was an accusation of malicious intent. And as you've stated,
I mean, there's not you, but the people.
Right.
And so, right now, there are emails going out every day on me.
We're not concerned with that, and we're only here on the complaint that was before us. My only other question for you is about the ethics training. Whether you have, since this process started, or intend to, in the near future, complete that training.
I did. I went to Palm Beach State College. I didn't realize that the Florida League of Cities and the other training was totally separate issues. I sat through two ethics trainings. I got ethics training the first month I was elected. Matter of fact, one of my first three meetings was through the Ethics Commission. We came here, OIG. When I found out how important it was, I signed up through EMO, beginning elected officials training, to do the ethics training. Then I did two, then I did advanced. I did it twice. But I didn't know that the state, the Florida League of Cities, and the county were two separate issues. And HR didn't notify me to let me know that you need to do something separate. So when I did find out, according to my schedule, so I did, and eventually ended up going over to Palm Beach State College and sitting through a course for half a day and doing that. So now I'm waiting for the next class to come up so I can get in. We have to do it once every year, correct?
Mr. Chairman, I think since he can make the decisions according to their policy, that part of it is moot, and he satisfactorily gave the investigator answers on the per diem, and I don't see a problem with any of this.
I understand that, and I think that really the nature of the questions that have been directed to Ms. Williams and Mr. Davis have less to do with the facts and what actually occurred and more to do with the appearance. Mm-hmm. I think it was Stephen Colbert during the Bush administration, Bush 2 administration, came up with this term called truthiness. And I think that, candidly, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, it does indeed make noise. You were indeed born, whether or not you can find your birth certificate. And the quality of your answers when Mr. Bannon was speaking to you created enough questions, despite the findings of fact, that this kind of conversation probably was unavoidable. It doesn't change anything, but I would hope it would change your perception as to how important the appearance of truth is, because otherwise the actual facts get kind of muddied up and hard to see. Are there any other questions of the parties who are present? Okay. We have the proposed findings of no probable cause. In C-15019, case against Ms. Williams, Regina Williams, City of Riviera Beach, is there a motion to accept the finding of no probable cause?
I make a motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
Commissioner Lofredo made the motion. Commissioner Shulman made the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. In C-15020, against Terrence Davis, City of Riviera Beach, there is a recommendation of a finding of no probable cause. Is there a motion to accept that recommendation?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Pierman, second by?
I should make a second.
Second by Commissioner Lofredo. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion two passes. My understanding is we're going to put something on the screen. And in this case, based on what Ms. Executive Director Bannon shared with us, we're just going to read it, but we're not going to read it aloud unless we're making changes.
Correct.
Okay.
Signature.
Okay. Are there any changes that any of the commissioners would want to this finding?
Yeah, I think
it's talking to my office.
Would it be appropriate or advisable to probably add one or two sentences about the importance of ethics training and abiding by the Code of Ethics, be cognizant of the Code of Ethics?
I think this is a finding of fact. I don't know that it's appropriate there. The only way it would be appropriate is I think, Executive Director Bannon, correct me if I'm wrong, if there were a deadline for it and it had not been completed, but I don't think that's the case.
Well, actually what happens is that they have to determine their own policy, and so when they haven't taken the training within that policy, it's technically a policy violation that the city has to handle.
Okay.
Although we provide it. I will tell you that after the executive session, I will be discussing with him, because I'm still not sure he understands the differences between the two. We don't offer that training at Palm Beach State. We do offer it online, though, and I'll make sure that he's aware.
Okay, great. So are you satisfied we're not going to put anything in? Okay. Any other commissioner have any changes? Okay, could we move to the next one?
Commissioner, just so you know, the specific order that is on the screen before you now is regarding Ms. Williams. And if you don't mind, before we move to the next order, I would prefer it that you motion
okay.
Second and vote on this particular
right.
order.
Is there a motion to accept the order as projected in C-15019 regarding Ms. Williams?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Headley. Second?
Second.
Second, Commissioner Lofredo. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
On the screen before you is now the order, public report and finding of no probable cause and order of dismissal regarding Terrence Davis and C-15020.
Do any of the commissioners have any changes that you would like to see to this particular order? Okay, hearing none. Is there a motion to accept the findings in C-15020 regarding Terrence Davis?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner
Kierman.
And a second? Second. Second, Commissioner Lofredo. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing that those motions have been passed and the orders approved, we will adjourn this meeting.
At the direction of the chair, this is the end of the recording in C-15019 and C-15020 on December 10, 2015, and the time is now 2:40 p.m.
Good.